Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
So we are turning this morning to Colossians chapter 1 again. So do you follow me or follow with me in your Bible? And going to focus just on two verses, verse 24 and 25. And let me read the passage to you. So Paul writes, he says, "Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known." And so, Lord, do lead us by your Spirit, giving unction in preaching and hearts open to your word, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want you to imagine this morning being one of those 12 apostles. Let's forget about Judas for the moment. We won't even refer to him today. But think of being one of the other apostles. Thousands of years of redemption history, and you have this small group of men given the privilege of being with Jesus, learning from Jesus, and witnessing the work of Jesus right through to the very end, and not only his crucifixion, but also ultimately the resurrection of Jesus and then the ascension. So the huge privilege. Imagine being there, being one of those in this very unique situation of being an apostle. On the other hand, we also need to recognize, and I want us to see this morning, that these apostles, given great privilege, also faced severe persecution. It was not easy for them in the work that they did in gospel ministry. Now, there are reports, there are legends, there are stories that abound, and we know that sometimes these stories and legends are not necessarily completely reliable, but we can say with certainty that these apostles, many of them scattered. They went far and wide to proclaim the message of the risen Christ. It is also fair, and I think right for us to say and communicate that in doing so, they suffered greatly for their faith. And we have it in many instances, in many cases, suffering violent deaths simply because of their boldness for Jesus, their willingness and courage to serve him, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible only records the death of one of the apostles. Anybody know? James. Acts chapter 12 and verse 2. The circumstances of the other deaths of the apostles have really come down to us through church tradition. And I'm going to share that with you for interest's sake, also to make the point of this introduction in this message this morning. We know, of course, James, he was beheaded. Now, pause for a minute and think about that. Head removed because of serving the Lord. It was done by King Herod. We understand that both Peter and Paul were martyred in Rome during Nero's persecution. Peter crucified upside down and Paul also beheaded. Bartholomew is a disciple we don't often refer to, but we are told that he was flogged to death by a whip in Armenia as he went out to share the gospel. We have Andrew, who was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece. Thomas, very interestingly, we have members at the Hill Campus who are from India, who tell me that there's a part of India that has a community of faith. And their belief is that it was Thomas that actually brought the gospel to that particular area. Well, Thomas, we understand, was stabbed with a spear while ministering in India. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. Simon, the other Simon, not Simon Peter, was cut in half with a saw. John made it to old age, died as an old man. Now, it is true, and we do need to recognize this morning that none of us here are apostles in the first century sense. They had a unique role. God used them. God had a purpose in using them. And that purpose was fulfilled. And there's no such thing as apostolic succession. So I'm not going to go down that alley today, but just need to know that is simply the creation of men and women further down the line. No such thing as apostolic succession. These apostles were unique. They had a unique role, passing on the baton in the content of the New Testament scriptures, giving to us the reliable authority of God's word. However, although we don't share the same privilege, although we are not apostles, every single believer is a servant of Christ. Amani, thank you for your ministry this morning, Lord, to the Lord. You served him well in reminding us in that message. Part of the body, just one example. Others on the stage, others out in the front. Others during the week, different people, different ministries. Everybody has a ministry. Everybody serves. We as Baptists have a particular principle. It's called the priesthood of all believers. We don't accept the notion that somehow a priest or a pastor or some kind of reverend or minister stands at some place of in a hierarchy having access to God that others don't have. That's nonsense. We all have access through our Lord Jesus Christ to God. So all of us are ministers of the gospel. All of us ought to be, if we're part of the body of Christ, servants at work in gospel ministry to the glory of God. Now, why am I saying that? Because I want to this morning take from what the Apostle Paul has given us, led by the Spirit, and see what it is that God is saying to us in our approach when there's antagonism in the ministry we bring, when there's persecution in the ministry that we are serving in, when there's criticism that comes, unwarranted criticism or hardship in gospel ministry. God is speaking to us through the Apostle Paul this morning and telling us. He's encouraging us. And I want to encourage you this morning through this particular passage. So as God speaks to us from the life of the Apostle Paul, one major point here this morning that I'm wanting to make, hardship in ministry is not an end in itself. Let me try and illustrate that. There are different athletes in our church. Some among you, men and women, like to do weightlifting. I don't know if you've ever watched anybody who's serious about weightlifting. And they pick up a weight, I don't know how heavy they are, 120 kilos or 80 kilos, whatever it is. But they're on that bench. And on that bench, they're lifting up this weight. But in doing this, they're in agony. They're not enjoying what they're doing. Are they? I don't think so. So what's the story there? Are they stupid? No, they're not. There's a reason. There's a reason they're doing it. They're doing it because of their desire to develop muscle definition. They want to carry watermelons under their arms. Okay, so there's a purpose. There's a purpose in what they're doing. Now we runners, I'm a runner, try to be a runner. We do something similar. Some people would say stupid. One of my colleagues in town, I used to be at the Waterkloof Baptist Church. He every time he saw me, he said to me, "Only fools run with nobody chasing them." But so we run up and down hills. Why do we run up and down hills? It's terrible to run up and down a hill. Your muscles scream at you, and your lungs don't seem to have enough capacity. But we do that. We do that because we want to develop strength so that we can run a better race. Here's the principle. It is worth enduring the pain, not for the sake of pain, but to accomplish a greater purpose. Now, Paul knew that to be true of hardship, the hardship that he endured in gospel ministry. How does this play out? And it's in three different ways I'm going to show you this morning. Hardship in gospel work is never wasted. I want you to see that this morning. Because sometimes you feel like throwing in the towel. Sometimes I've been tempted to give up pastoral ministry or even serving in a local church. What's the point? What's the point of facing a difficulty or a criticism or an unnecessary malicious comment? One would expect that taking the trouble to share good news with people who are in spiritual danger, in spiritual need, people who are needing to escape the wrath of God, who is eternal, and we are finite, you would think people would be standing in the queue to hear the good news message. But they don't. They don't. There are some people, some men, some women, some children, who receive the word of God gladly. But tragically, when the truth of Jesus and the good news of the gospel is preached, it's often met with hostile response. One of my favorite verses that I really had to hold close to my heart, I had to learn this early on in ministry. We are to God the aroma of Christ amongst those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one, we are the aroma of life, and to others, to the other, the stench of death. And when you become the stench in the nostrils of somebody else, they despise you. They will criticize you. They will persecute you. Not in our country to the extent in some of the closed countries, but it happens. And so we ask the question. I ask the question. Why bother? Why do we go out into the world and share the gospel that people don't want to hear? Why not just back off and be done with it? Well, God is telling us through Paul there's a greater purpose. Any kind of suffering in the course of gospel service. So this is a particular type of suffering. Listen to this, folk, for your encouragement. Has eternal benefits. Verse 24. Now I rejoice, and when you read that verse, you think, as Paul lost his mind, now I rejoice in my sufferings, but then he adds the phrase, for your sake, for your sake. Let me try and illustrate this. A lifesaver. If you're going on holiday down to the beach, you may have the opportunity or the event, incident, where somebody out in the sea is identified as being in trouble, drowning. What does the lifesaver do? There's a riptide that's out there that is dangerous. But the riptide, the lifesaver, puts himself at risk, struggling against the tide, struggling against the current, and fights all of that so as to save the drowning person. So the pain brings about benefit. We see the same thing with a fireman. Think about a fireman who places his life at risk by entering a burning building to rescue a suffocating child, willing to have his fingers burnt, willing to have his lungs burning because of the smoke and no oxygen. But he goes through the difficulty, he goes through the struggle, he goes through the hardship for a greater purpose. What about spiritually? Isn't it infinitely more beneficial for you and me to be willing to face hardship in the process of a soul being saved from the eternal wrath of God in hell? We must not bury our heads in the sand about the reality of an eternity. either with God or without God. We have to keep that in the forefront of our thinking. Not only for men and women and children to be rescued from the worm that does not die, from the fire that is not quenched, but rescued and placed into the favorable inclusion of God's family forever. Greater purpose. And so if faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God, then surely, and I'm preaching to myself this morning because I don't like to go through a hardship. I don't like suffering. I don't like it. I don't like persecution. But we need to hear the Word of God. Enduring some pain, enduring some persecution or hardship in the process of ministry is worth it. It's worth the soul. In the light of the eternal gain for lost souls, also for the glory of God, let us encourage one another when we're facing pain, when we're facing criticism or discomfort in the course of ministry. Well, the fact that hardship in ministry is never wasted, I hope, does provide some encouragement and a reminder to you this morning. But there's more that God has to say through Paul here about the bigger picture of suffering in ministry. Verse 24. This is a difficult verse. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. There's the benefit, the greater good. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. Wow, that's a difficult verse. This verse is not suggesting that Paul or any of the apostles or anybody else can add anything to the atoning work of Jesus. It is finished. Redemption has been accomplished. Redemption is currently being applied, of course, by the Spirit. But even in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, we read, "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Jesus has finished the work of redemption. It has been done. It is accomplished. What then does this verse tell us? What does it lead us in encouragement to see? This difficult verse gives us help in our approach to hardship in ministry. And I've used as my heading, "Hardship in gospel work shows the love of Christ." I used to be on Facebook. I no longer have an account. But some years ago, I think it was, I saw a particular post on Facebook that depicted the difference between a person who is committed to radical Islam and a person who is a serious evangelical believer. Little cartoon, two figures with the little bubbles with words in them. The radical Islamic figure speaks saying this: "If you don't accept Islam, it'll cost you your life." The other figure, the Christian figure, speaks saying, "I must tell you about Jesus, even if it costs me my life." Do you see the difference? One of my favorite biographies, mission biography, John G. Patton. You want to read a good book? You want to read that book. He, one among thousands of other missionaries who risked their lives to share the gospel, him doing it amongst cannibals of the New Hebrides. Difficult, difficult ministry. Lost his wife. There were children that died. Sometimes he had to run and hide up in a high tree so the guys didn't slice off his buttocks for a steak. But cannibals, they ate each other. And so, Why have so many Christians risked their lives, some of them losing their lives, in going out with the gospel to hostile nations of the world? Now, here's the the answer. When a true believer faces and endures hardship and suffering in the course of gospel ministry, it's a picture of the ministry of Jesus. Don't believe the lie of many of our current churches portraying a Jesus of prosperity. He was a man of sorrows. He was a man who understood the reality of being misunderstood and misrepresented. He was a man who understood what it was to face injustice. He faced emotional and spiritual difficulty. He faced the struggle of physical pain, the separation of, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is a man of sorrows. When you and I are busy with God's work, we are His representatives. Don't forget that. We are showing, we are demonstrating the world, let them see a glimpse of the Savior because He's not physically present. And in so doing, filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Doesn't that change our thinking a little? Any hardship and suffering we face is communicating. It's communicating. Why would somebody, and we have them in our church, who goes out to a closed country and places themselves, their spouse and their children at risk, and somebody hears the message and they look on and say, why are they doing this? Because they are demonstrating the love of Jesus for their lost souls, communicating the pattern and nature of Christ's redemptive work. I've often said from this pulpit that if you're in any doubt of the love of God, just go to the cross. Look at the cross. For God so loved the world, He gave. What was that giving? What did it involve? He gave Jesus to be subjected to His own wrath. That is the extent. That's the nature of the love of God for sinful men and women. And so it's also true when we willingly endure. At the work of, in the work of gospel ministry, that we're demonstrating the love of God in Christ to our hearers. I wondered about these words, thoughts that should govern our thinking. So maybe saying to yourself in the morning, saying to yourself as you go about your business, in the days of His life on earth, are you speaking to yourself? In the days of His life on earth, my Savior showed His love for me by paying the ultimate price for my soul. Don't forget that. Remind yourself of it regularly. And then to others, I want you also to know this indescribable love of God for sinners. And so I'm willing to endure suffering in the process of proclaiming the love of Christ for the sake of your soul. I want to add a point. It doesn't come directly from this passage, but I think it adds to our understanding. I've called it hardship in gospel work is felt by Jesus. There's an aspect of hardship in ministry, in the course of gospel ministry, and it is with reference to Christ's afflictions. Remember the encounter that the Apostle Paul had on the road to Damascus? Just pause when you read that passage. What did Jesus say to him? Falling to the ground, Acts chapter 9 verse 4, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting my people? Why are you persecuting believers? He said to Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. I believe we need to learn from that. Paul's effort in seeking to hurt and destroy believers is felt by Jesus. Dear friend, Jesus is not isolated from or unaware of the hardship and persecution that you endure in the course of gospel ministry. As I understand that passage, when you're afflicted in the line of ministry with people seeking, malicious people seeking to hurt you, Jesus knows. Jesus understands. Jesus prays, we know, interceding as a high priest before the Father. I've come to this message this morning with some trepidation, I think, because it's one of these messages, it's easy to know in the head. It's another thing to live it in the heart. Jotted down different words that represent different levels of persecution or hardship. Persecution or martyrdom, that's a terrible thing. Many, many men and women have been persecuted, lost their lives, burnt at the stake, and all sorts of terrible things for the sake of the gospel. The others who currently go through hardship, just yesterday I was out at the Letlhibele Baptist Church in Stinkwater. And it was a hot day yesterday, and we went into the building there. It's like an oven. And I'm thinking to myself, this is hardship in ministry. It's a level of hardness. That pastor standing up week by week, those people congregating in an oven. But they don't stop. They want to be a witness amongst the people of Stinkwater. It's hardship. Other people suffering, unkind words, malicious comments, sometimes it's discomfort, sometimes it's words that cut so deeply and so hurtful, expressing different aspects and different levels of difficulty. So let me conclude. For the Apostle Paul, who writes this letter to the Colossians, suffering was severe. We have a description, imprisonments, countless beatings, 39 lashes, beaten with rods, stoned, shipwrecked, adrift at sea, danger from rivers, danger from roads. You get the point. The Apostle Paul really faced hardship. And yet, he's able to write, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. But for this message to have relevance, what hardship is it for you? Is there any hardship? Are you doing any ministry? What hardship is there? Is it the pain of criticism from others? Even in the church, sometimes tongues can be so sharp and so hurtful. Is it your willingness, because at work you've been prepared to take a stand against promiscuousness, everybody else is shacking up or living together, but you're waiting until you get married, and now they're calling you a nerd, or you're calling you a prude, or I don't know what the different words are, and you feel like you're marginalized. That's suffering in the line of ministry. Is it isolation or rejection? You're not getting a promotion at work because you're a believer and you don't go with the guys or the girls. Are you being misunderstood? Have you been, I can tell you many stories. I've actually recorded some of them. I tried to write a book some years ago about difficulties in the ministry and being misrepresented. Hardship of these things. God has said something to us folk. There's a word here for us regarding hardship in the course of ministry. And I think the challenge to me, certainly this morning as I've prepared this message and preached it again now twice this morning, are we willing, am I willing, are you willing to receive the Word of God in faith, believing and resting and trusting in God that hardship in the course of ministry is not an end in itself? Has it been a hard year? Maybe you prepared a lesson. Bible study, Sunday school, spent hours during the week in anticipation, and nobody pitches. And you're disappointed, you're discouraged. can happen. Well, I want to close with an illustration, the truth of God's word in display in the testimony of this missionary, John G. Patton, that served in the New Hebrides, and don't forget, amongst hostile cannibals eating people. He made this statement that I think is helpful. This is strength. This is peace. Well, okay, I want to hear about that. What is strength? What is peace? To feel in entering every day, Monday to Sunday, that all its duties and trials have been committed to the Lord Jesus. Then he adds this phrase, that come what may, he will use us for his glory and for our good. Isn't that a great statement? Later on, he had a very difficult time. Spent one whole season on the field without one conversion. But many, many years later, this is what he wrote. Trials had not been wasted. At the moment, now imagine him, he's writing about meeting now with converts from cannibalism. At the moment, I put the bread and the wine into those hands, once stained with the blood of cannibalism. You get the picture? Now stretched out to receive and partake of the emblems and seals of the Redeemer's love, the bread and the wine. I had a foretaste of the joy of glory that well nigh broke my heart to pieces. I shall never taste deeper bliss till I gaze on the glorified face of Jesus himself. Ach, Lord, may we have that settled conviction of trusting you, come what may. And Lord, it's easy to say these things when we stand, as it were, in an easy and a good place. But help us to remember this, to live it, to trust you, to rest in you in times of difficulty. And indeed, Lord, that your Spirit would encourage us, enabling us to persevere through to the very end. But Lord, that there may be a fruitfulness in gospel ministry, we ask, through our lives individually, but also through the life of this church in Pretoria, we ask. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.